Okay, so I want you to grab a Bible if you have one, or open your Bible app on your phone and go to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start there this morning, but I'm going to open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for this Resurrection Sunday, that we can celebrate the fact that you conquered sin and death on our behalf for our sins, Lord. And we're just so thankful that you proved that you have the power. And we're just thankful for that. And we just pray, Lord, now this Sunday as we worship you, and how every Sunday we worship you because of this Sunday. So we're thankful for that. I pray now as we spend time in your word that it's helpful for us, that our hearts and our minds are open to it, that you remove any distractions that might be in our minds or just in our lives that would keep us from focusing in on what you have to say to us. We're thankful again for each person that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Resurrection Sunday, and Christians around the world celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave. And it's a joyful day, but maybe today you're not filled with joy. Maybe you don't have joy in your own life. Maybe today you're carrying a burden. Maybe today is your first Easter without a loved one. Maybe right now, maybe you're thinking about the stress of work or the stress of school. Maybe today you're having family issues. Maybe today you're having friend issues. Or maybe you're just unhappy with the way that life is going. Because of one or more of these things, it's hard for you to be joyful. It's hard for you to have joy. So on this Resurrection Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to learn from the book of Philippians how we can find joy no matter what our circumstance is. How we can find joy no matter what our circumstance is. In AD 62, the Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in prison for preaching Jesus. He was in prison in Rome, and he wrote a letter to a group of believers in Philippi. These believers helped Paul in a time of need, and they had a great concern for Paul as he suffered in prison. So in this letter, Paul, what he does is he teaches them four ways that he is actually experiencing joy while he's in this difficult circumstance, while he is actually in prison. So the first way that Paul teaches them that he's experiencing joy, no matter what the circumstance, is this. Jesus needs to be the focus of our lives. Jesus needs to be the focus of our lives. So what I want to look at chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. It says this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, he says, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." So he's saying, this isn't the end for me, okay? This isn't the end for me. Then he's saying in verse 20, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul had Jesus as his focus in this life, and he knew no matter what happened to him, if he lived, he was going to serve Jesus. If he died, he was going to see Jesus. But regardless, Paul was saying, my focus is Jesus, so therefore I will rejoice. I will have joy. See, when we're experiencing difficult circumstances, we need to ask ourselves, how can I focus on Jesus in this situation? So take your circumstance and say, how can I focus on Jesus in this circumstance or in this situation? It may just be this. What can I learn about my relationship with Jesus through this difficult circumstance? But however you look at it, the focus needs to be this. I need to focus my life on Jesus. I need to focus my attention on Jesus. You know what? Sometimes in life, maybe we're not suffering, but we're still not happy. Have you ever been there? You're just not happy. You're not suffering. Nothing's really wrong. But you just start to ask yourself this question. Why don't I have joy? Or why am I not really happy? And it really comes down to this. The focus of your life may not be Jesus. And that's why you're not happy. It might be your focus of your life might actually be something else. Your focus might be work. It might be family. It might be hobbies. It might be friends. It might be success. It might be money. Your focus actually might be to have happiness or achieve happiness. And these are not bad things to focus on necessarily, but here's what happens. When they become our focus and Jesus is not our focus, it's impossible to have true joy. Let me just say that again. When those things become our focus and Jesus is not our focus, it is impossible for us to have true joy. So the first way we can experience joy and the way Paul teaches us and the way that he did was focus your life on Jesus. The second way Paul teaches us how to have joy, no matter what the circumstance, is have the mind of Jesus. So what is the mind of Jesus? Let's look at Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. And he tells us what the mind of Christ actually is. He says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, being taken the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So the mind of Jesus is that he was willing to come to this earth in human flesh in order to die an excruciating death on our behalf. So basically what it's saying is this, the mind of Christ was on us. He did this for us. The reason why he came to this earth was for you and me. There's nothing more that I want you to know this Easter than this, that Jesus loves you so much, he was willing to leave heaven to come to this earth to pay the price for your sins. Hebrews 12:2 says it this way. It says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Do you know what the joy was that was set before him? Does anybody know? It was us. It was actually us. He looked and saw us in need and said, "You know what? I will endure the cross." So we experience joy when we have the mind of Christ, which means this, we get our minds off ourselves and we put our minds on other people. And here's, you might have heard this before, and like a little acronym for joy, Jesus others yourself. So we focus on Jesus and then we focus on other people. When we focus on Jesus, we will pursue the mind that he has, which is that we focus on other people. And some of you at this point are saying right now, "Well, other people are the reason why I don't have joy." Okay? And that might very well be true. But now you have to focus in on how you're going to interact and how you're going to serve and how you're going to love and how you're going to pray for and how you're going to care for those other people. Do you know, we believe this, or I believe this, and I think you should believe this to be true because it's supported in the scriptures, okay? Putting others before ourselves, like Jesus did for us. But do you know that science actually agrees with this? There is an 80-year Harvard study, one of the longest-running studies about happiness and aging, okay? In this study, what they discovered over this 80-year study of this focus group of people that they followed, and then more people came into the study as they continued on. But they found out the most joyful and happy people are the people that focus on building healthy and maintaining healthy relationships with other people. Do you get that, what that's saying? The happy people are the people that don't just think of themselves, but actually look to bless, help, pray for, and be around and build into other people. So then we have to say to ourselves, how do I deal with these relationships so I can find joy? And Paul doesn't leave us there, okay? He doesn't just say, have this mind of Christ. He endured the cross. He thought of you before you even thought of yourself. He tells us then, how you can continue to do this, how we can find joy in these situations, which leads us to our next point, the next way Paul teaches us to have joy in every circumstance, and that is this. Our goal should be to know Jesus better. So here's what you're going to have to do now. You're going to have to know the mind of Christ, know Jesus better, so you can actually follow in his example. So in chapter 3, we're going to get to a couple of verses in chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. But basically, it's this. The more we know Jesus, the more we have the mind of Jesus. The more we have the mind of Jesus, the more we realize our lives are not all about us, but they're about Jesus. The more that we realize our lives are not about us, the more we find joy in actually putting others before ourselves. So in order to be that person, we need to know Jesus better. So what do we need to know about Jesus? I want to turn your attention to chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Paul says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So the first thing we need to know about Jesus is what we celebrate today, the resurrection. We need to know the power of the resurrection. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because there is power in it. Jesus suffered to pay the price for our sins on the cross. That's why that's the basis of our faith, that Jesus came to this earth and he suffered and died in our place for our sins. But it didn't end there. It didn't end there. Jesus rose from the grave. And guess what? There's power in this resurrection because do you know what? All other religions, all other belief systems, they either worship or listen to dead people, okay? Our Savior is alive. He is risen. The truth of the scriptures tell us this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, rose again to prove that he was God. And all who believe will have eternal life. The question you have to answer is, do you believe that? Do you trust Jesus for your salvation? And guess what? The fact that he rose from the grave shows us that he has power over death and suffering. So let's go back to maybe why you're not joyful, or maybe why you're not filled with joy. Maybe some of the things in your life are just stealing your joy and you don't even know how to get away from those things. You don't even know how to be delivered from those things. But you have to ask yourself this. If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he is powerless against your problem? Okay? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he is powerless against a relational problem you might be having? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he's powerless against a sickness that you might be dealing with? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he's powerless against a financial problem you might be having? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he's powerless against a work problem that you're having? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think that he's powerless against helping you grieve the loss of maybe a loved one in your life? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he's powerless against an addiction you might be struggling with? If God is powerful enough to raise the dead, do you think he's powerless against your suffering? I don't think he is. He is powerful. Do you know that suffering does not have to have the last word? Do you realize that suffering didn't have the last word when it comes to Jesus? When he was dying and suffering on that cross, and those days before he rose from the grave, his disciples thought suffering got the best of them, that suffering got the best of Jesus. But guess what? He rose from the grave. As believers, suffering doesn't have to have the last word in your life unless you let it. Okay? It doesn't have to have the last word in your life unless you let that suffering. But you know what? When you focus on Jesus and knowing him, you focus in on his power. So Paul goes on to teach us how to make knowing him our goal. In verses 12 through 16, he says this. He says, here's how you're going to do it. Now that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, listen to what he says. He says, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So here's what he's saying. Here's how we do it. We forget what's behind and look forward to the goal. So many times in life, when we are suffering, when things are going wrong, when an event happened, we wallow in it. And what he is saying is this: forget about that and focus on him. Look to the prize. Look to the upward call. Look to heaven. Look to what he's called you to do. That suffering was yesterday. Today, I'm going to look towards the goal. I'm going to leave that behind. But notice what he says. This is the way mature believers are to think. See, in our maturity, when we think this way, guess what happens? We have joy. We have joy. But I know that some of you right now are probably saying to yourself, I can't think that way. It's too hard. I keep on obsessing over whatever is going on in my life, and I can't control that. Well, the final way we experience joy in a difficult situation is we need to go to Jesus for strength. The only way you're going to achieve that mindset, that thinking, that focus is go to Jesus. So if we're honest with ourselves, none of us want to suffer, and sometimes the suffering is too much and we want to give up. If you're suffering at work, you might just want to quit. If you're suffering in a relationship, you might want to distance yourself. If you're suffering financially, you might not want to put the work in to get back on track. If you're suffering in parenting, you might just want to throw your hands up and say, you know what? I'm just going to let those kids do whatever they feel like doing because I can't control them. If you're suffering in any situation, it's so easy to just feel defeated, or even worse, be defeated by it. But you don't have to be. You need to go to Jesus for strength. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4, 12 through 13. He says it this way. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Guess what? The only way that you're really going to have fulfilling joy is by tapping into the strength of Christ. You can't do it alone. That's why we're here. That's why we come here. That's why we worship the Lord. That's why we hear from his word, because we need his strength. Without his strength, we won't have joy. But guess what? When we tap into the strength of Christ and the power of the resurrection, that's where joy is. And that's how we can experience the joy that only the Lord can give. My hope and prayer for you this Easter is that you will experience his joy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. And I do pray, Lord, that we would not let suffering have the last word, that we would experience the joy that only you can bring. But we need to focus our attention on you. We need to make your goals our goals. We need to have the mind of Jesus Christ and tap into his strength so that we can continue to go on. No matter what is going on in our lives, Lord, we give those things to you. We forget what is behind us and press forward so that we can receive the joy that only you can bring into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please stand as we close in worship.